one of the challenges of the church has been to steer a course between taking seriously the call to eternal life and the need for faith, and the mercy of God moving people in a sort of less than explicit way to Christ. And in the process, what has happened is that people have taken the idea of eternal salvation very lightly. And the problem or the reality of eternal damnation very lightly. And it's not light. If you ask the average person, even the average Catholic, what do you mean by, you know, oh, sure, we're all going to heaven. You know, I mean, God is merciful. God is good. God is... And then you think to yourself, well, then why did Francis Xavier burn himself out to preach to him and baptize a million people if it's a matter of little consequence? That's one of the challenges that came out of a misunderstanding of Vatican II. And a text like this, which is the Word of God, is trying to explain to us the awful seriousness of our one life. Not only for ourselves, but for those who are close to us and for the whole world. Though it's difficult for us to grasp, what our Lord is talking about today, you see, is that we have to live a different way. The lines in the letter to the Colossians, which recur over and over again in this season, you know, about you know, you've been raised with Christ. Now seek the things that are above. You know, there's two ways of thinking about this, you see, of responding to this offer of salvation. And Satan, whom Ignatius of Loyola used to call the enemy of mankind, is trying to bewitch people. And then little by little, their hearts get hardened. And so our Lord is saying here, you see, these are his words, huh? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son, that's not just whoever never heard of him. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life. Now, this puts a greater urgency on the whole issue of evangelization. It's a fact that after Vatican II, with this, what was called by some theologians, optimism, all the missionary orders began to lose vocations. The missionaries were no longer had a role. If everybody is devout and trying hard and wherever they are, except for really, really, really bad people, why go preach? The White Fathers, so many others. Others turned to do works of social action, improve, which is always a good idea, but to improve the material and human and educational lot of people. But what about eternal life? And what about the incredible joy and assurance and privilege of knowing Jesus Christ? This text, which is the conclusion of this block in chapter 3, you see, is trying to tell us there are two orders. It's not trying. There are two orders of existence. You know, one is under God, being moved by God, and the other is not. And when people are deprived of access to that second one, the downward tug of our whole personality can take over. Now, it's to Satan's advantage that not to push most people into incredible acts of cruelty and so forth, but we see them. Somebody said the other day in a reliable place that during some of these wars in Africa, there are now over 5,000 people who have been maimed, just willfully maimed. Lost an arm, a leg, a breast. They've been maimed. Where does that kind of cruelty come from? In other words, the Lord is merciful, oh Lord, or none of us would be here. But the understanding of the issue of existence, most people never give it any thought. Most people, even in a Catholic church, get upset if somebody says, look out, you could be damned. That's out of date. And so you see, as we watch even our own culture deteriorate incredibly, there's a weight, you see, pulling things down, making it easier to deny God and to move even further away and not to understand. And then, of course, because we are who we are, we know that we're estranged from God. And so from there, people can move to a real hatred of God and be firm in that. And refuse God's mercy. You know, I would say that the greatest danger in this country is comfort. Everything's going fine. Well, a little bit troubling now. You know, we might all lose our money, but I mean, that's the worst thing. Nothing is worse than that. Oh, yes, there is. Losing eternal life. It's only when we grasp the true situation of our own existence that we can appreciate God's mercy. And so a text like this today, you see, the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. He does not give it out in the gift of the Spirit in measure. Jesus has given us everything. And the greatness of this is only apparent to those who are receiving this mercy and understand it. And it is great when we live without the instinct for God's mercy. We lose mercy ourselves. And so the world becomes a very harsh place. And that impacts us about who we think God is. And so then we sin, we give up. God is harsh. God is, you know. This show they have in the, I don't even know the name of it, the You're Fired show, you know, whatever that one is. And isn't that the antithesis of the gospel? But that's the way things are. That's not the way things are. And so, this is a text like this today, you know, whoever disobeys the Son will not see life. That means, you see, and if you look at the, you know, in Lumen Gentium, number 16, you know, this understanding that, you know, God moves people and they were, that's right. But the next paragraph says how difficult it is for those who do not know Christ, who are not supported by his sacraments, who aren't living in a Christian family, you know, not to fall away and get hardened. And here is the Lord. Mercy. 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 Calling us to show this mercy to the world. Calling us, you know, even if it's by a smile today, to, you know, to soften the hardness of the life that people have to live, and to be missionaries. That was a great mistake, and it was spread by well-meaning theologians. We now understand, you see. Then why would our Lord die? Why not send some smart guy to write a book and say, this is the way to go, and give it your best shot? And why would he die? Such an excess of love. Whereas, on the other side, those who give themselves to the Lord, look at the peace, the assurance, even in difficult times. The judgment of each human being is God's and no one else's. And yet, it's not wrong to look and see how this whole thing is just drifting into darkness, and pray and preach. This is a message of mercy, but it's not a message of what Bonhoeffer used to call cheap grace. So let's remember that today, for ourselves, of course, but for everyone. You know, the issues are eternal, and they're not easy.